Focus Media Networks. This is America's First News. This morning with your host, Gordon Deal.
Planned Parenthood under fire. Good morning, I'm Gordon Deal, along with Jennifer Kashenka. It's Wednesday, September 30th. Welcome aboard. Here's what's up this hour.
Congressional Republicans sparred with the president to Planned Parenthood over the need for federal funding. Hear the case made by each side.
As Congress faces a midnight deadline to provide government funding for the next fiscal year, longer-term budget talks have begun.
Georgia has given a lethal injection to its only woman on death row. She was convicted of conspiring to kill her husband.
And what you need to know if you're thinking about retiring abroad.
One of the biggest drivers is the lower cost that you'll face by moving abroad in many cases.
Janelle Marte at the Washington Post has a financial guide to retiring overseas. She's here in about 20 minutes. Well, the state of Georgia has put a convicted murder conspirator to death. The only woman on death row, 47-year-old Kelly Gissendanner, got the needle shortly after midnight Eastern time today, despite a flurry of last-ditch efforts to stay the execution. Lawyers filed multiple appeals with high courts of both the United States and the state of Georgia. Ms. Gissendanner, a mother of three, was sentenced to death for her role in the 1997 murder of her husband, Douglas Gissendanner. The state official made the announcement on WSB-TV.
Court-ordered execution of Kelly Renee Gissendanner was carried out in accordance with state law. She made a final statement and she requested a final prayer.
Prosecutors said Ms. Gissendanner conspired with her lover, Gregory Owen, who stabbed Douglas Gissendanner to death. Mr. Owen, who took a plea deal and testified against Ms. Gissendanner, is serving life in prison and will become eligible for parole in 7 years. She came close to execution twice this year, by the way. The first time, a winter storm in February prevented travel. The second attempt, the following month, was aborted when the lethal drug pentobarbital appeared cloudy. Congressional Republicans have challenged Planned Parenthood's need for federal funds, while the health organization's president said defunding it would restrict women's access to care. The reason for yesterday's hearing on Capitol Hill, a series of videos that purport to show that Planned Parenthood improperly sells fetal tissue to researchers for profit. Utah Congressman Jason Chaffetz said Planned Parenthood's $127 million in profit last year showed that the organization could survive without federal funds. He accused the group of lavishly spending on travel, hosting blowout parties, and paying, quote, exorbitant salaries.
The question before us is, does this organization, does Planned Parenthood really need federal subsidy? Does it need federal dollars?
Dr. Cecile Richards, who earns more than $500,000 as president of the organization, said Planned Parenthood did not use federal funds for abortions, which comprise 3% of its services.
The outrageous accusations leveled against Planned Parenthood based on heavily doctored videos are offensive and categorically untrue.
Planned Parenthood gets about $500 million annually in taxpayer money. Some Republicans have vowed to shut down the government if federal support for the organization is not cut off. Well, it's been less than a week now since House Speaker John Boehner announced he would resign from Congress at the end of next month. But in the wake of the shockwaves, the jockeying has begun on Capitol Hill to replace him and the leadership positions immediately below Speaker. We're joined now by James Arkin at Real Clear Politics. He's on the T-Mobile hotline. James, catch us up to date.
I think the one thing that people need to know about leadership races is that they happen fast, and people who don't act quickly generally seem to get left behind. But so right now, it looks like the race for Speaker of the House is leaning pretty heavily towards Kevin McCarthy, who's currently the majority leader. He called every member of the GOP conference over the weekend. He officially announced Monday afternoon that he was going to be running. And it seems like there's pretty broad support for him to replace John Boehner as Speaker. But again, he's going to have to make an effort to meet with some of the conservatives in the House, some of the members who were pretty upset with Boehner's speakership and wanted to see him leave, to kind of explain to them how he would be different, how he would kind of separate himself and try to fix some of these problems that have been going on in the conference. But right now, he doesn't really have a main challenger except for one of the members of the House who did run against Speaker Boehner Daniel Webster, who only got 12 votes earlier this year. So McCarthy is the clear favorite at this point.
Right. All right. So with regards to McCarthy, generally speaking, aren't his politics similar to Boehner? What makes him think he can do things differently or achieve more?
So they are pretty similar to Boehner. I think one of the things that he has going for him that seems like it's going to be helpful is that in 2010, in the year that a lot of these conservatives were elected to the House, he was in charge of recruitment for the political wing of the Republican conference. And so he kind of pushed a lot of these members to run for Congress. He's got a really solid relationship with them. He's seen as someone who's kind of very, you know, willing to sit down and to meet with different members and to work with people. So I think while the politics might be relatively similar, there's a real feeling that McCarthy might be a little more open in terms of process, which is exactly what these conservatives are hoping for.
Mm. We're speaking with James Arkin, congressional reporter at Real Clear Politics. His piece is called GOP Leadership Races Heat Up and Speed Up. All right, so if Congressman McCarthy becomes House Speaker, that creates an opening for his current post, which is Majority Leader. What happens there?
So the Majority Leader at this point, given McCarthy's, you know, edge in the Speaker's race, seems like the sort of the race to watch right now. And it's very interesting. It's already kind of, you know, as I said, speeds up. Things happen very quickly. Originally, it looked like it was going to be a three-member race between current whip Steve Scalise, current conference chair Kathy McMorris-Rogers, which is the fourth position in leadership, and Congressman Tom Price, the chairman of the Budget Committee. And then last night, McMorris-Rogers decided that she was going to stay in her current leadership position at the number four spot. So it looked like it was just going to be a one-on-one race between Congressman Scalise and Congressman Price. And now a lot of members are floating the idea that Congressman Trey Gowdy, who is heading the Select Committee on Benghazi, would be a member that a lot of people would like to see run for this leadership position.
What's the significance of the majority leader position? What's it do or what's involved?
Well, the majority leader position is the one who sets the floor schedule, so decides what bills are going to come up and kind of sets the tone and schedule for the conference. You know, and just in terms of the role of the majority leader, it's sort of to set the schedule and decide what issues they're going to be working on, what bills are going to come to the floor. But in this case, it would also sort of be a way to bridge that gap that has caused some problems in the conference between these more conservative members and the members of leadership.
Thanks, James. James Arkin at Real Clear Politics. 14 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. You're results-driven and you're ambitious. You've established yourself professionally, and now you're looking for more. Take the next step in your entrepreneurial journey with Edible Arrangements, the brand that revolutionized gifting with handcrafted fruit arrangements and gourmet chocolate-covered fruit, now also offers delicious everyday treats like smoothies, fruit salads, and parfaits. As an Edible Arrangements franchisee, you get access to an established brand with 16 years of growth, over 80% brand recognition, and 1,200 locations worldwide. You'll benefit from know-how, support, and millions of visitors to the Edible Arrangements e-commerce platform. Discover why Entrepreneur Magazine named Edible Arrangements a top franchise and among their best of the best for 2015. Start your journey to sweet success as an Edible Arrangements franchise owner. Call 1-888-727-4258 or go to edible.com. That's 1-888-727-4258 or edible.com. Thanks for spending time with us. Good Wednesday morning. With the end of the fiscal year at midnight tonight, Republican leaders have opened discussions with President Obama about a two-year budget plan. The Wall Street Journal says the preliminary talks are geared at finding a way around discretionary spending caps outlined in a 2011 budget law that many lawmakers see as draconian. But Kentucky Senator Rand Paul, who's also a presidential candidate, believes it's time to start the budget process from scratch.
Why don't we start out with a negotiating position that we defund everything that's objectionable, all the wasteful spending, all the duplicative spending? Let's defund it all. And if there has to be a negotiation, let's start from defunding it all and see where we get.
Struggles over the size of government have been one of the main tensions in the GOP. California Congressman Javier Becerra.
with the economy churning, moving forward, jobs being created, this is the last time we need to have a government shut down by our Republican colleagues.
Meanwhile, the House and Senate are expected today to pass a stopgap spending measure to keep the government running through December 11th. It's 20 minutes now after the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is here with more of America's First News.
According to the U.S. military says it has conducted two more airstrikes on Taliban positions around the northern Afghan city of Kunduz, which was seized by insurgents on Monday. Afghan forces have been massing around the city for what's likely to be a protracted battle to retake the strategic city of 300,000 inhabitants. Meanwhile, in a potential major shift in policy, U.S. military commanders want to keep at least a few thousand U.S. troops in Afghanistan beyond 2016, citing the current fragile security situation there. The current plan is to leave only an embassy-based security cooperation presence of about 1,000 military personnel by the end of next year. For the first time in more than 60 years, U.S. president has met with a Cuban president on U.S. soil. President Obama sat down with President Raul Castro on the sidelines of the U.N. General Assembly in New York City yesterday. The White House says besides discussing the recent visit of Pope Francis, President Obama highlighted regulatory changes that will allow people from the U.S. to travel to and do business with Cuba. For now, it's a tropical storm, but it could soon become a hurricane. Stacy Stewart of the National Hurricane Center says all eyes are on Tropical Storm Joaquin.
Still a little bit too far in advance to determine whether or not Joaquin will make landfall along the east coast of the United States. But we do encourage people from the Outer Banks of North Carolina northward to Long Island and even Cape Cod to pay close attention.
Computer models show a wide variation of possible paths for the storm, including the prospect of a direct hit somewhere on the East Coast by early next week or a turn out to sea. And employer programs intended to help families balance work and life are popular with the employees who use them. The issue? Not many do. According to a new study, most companies have work flexibility programs in place, and employees who take advantage of them report a positive impact on improving their experience at the organization, but only 12% are participating. The study's authors say the primary reason people don't use job sharing or other flexible workplace benefits is that they fear being seen as less committed to their careers.
Ouch.
Yep.
Vicious cycle.
It is. You can see both sides of this, really.
Yep. I do find that our employer is fairly flexible. Right? We could choose really any 20 hours that we want to work in the day, as long as we get the work done. Fairly flexible.
Yes.
Whatever 20 hours you want to put in, it's
news
cool.
News is news, yep.
23 minutes after the hour.
You appreciate the feeling of a clean, smooth shave from a quality blade. So why are you messing around with generic razors that cost $32 for an 8-pack when you can shave with Harry's high-quality German-engineered blades for half the price? Harry's will give you their starter set, complete with a razor, three of their world-famous blades, and shaving cream for just $15. And shipping is always free. We'll also give you $5 off your first order. So go to harrys.com right now and enter code 7799 at checkout. Code 7799.
Time now for a retirement update, and it's brought to you by TIAA CREF. Learn more at TIAA.org. Does your retirement dream place you in another country or perhaps another continent? Retiring overseas can be both more enticing and more affordable, depending on the locale, than retiring in the U.S. But Washington Post personal finance reporter Janelle Marte says a smooth transition requires careful planning. Janelle, give us some of the benefits.
One of the biggest drivers is the lower cost that you'll face by moving abroad in many cases. If you think about moving to the Caribbean or to some parts of South America, you will face much more affordable housing situations, living situations. Of course, many people want to retire to Europe, to some of these other really beautiful environments. In some cases, it is really affordable. In other cases, it's more about the lifestyle. For everyone, it's going to be different, but you are seeing a lot of people moving to some of these areas.
Right. All right. So cost of living, taxes, right? Health insurance, certainly a couple of the factors there. What is it that we need to consider or maybe we tend to overlook when dreaming of retiring abroad?
I think the first question is, will they even let you move over there? In Latin America, there are a lot of these programs called pensionado programs where they are essentially recruiting, trying to attract American retirees by making it very easy for them to bring over their cars, their boats, tax-free. You know, they might have a very low bar for who can come over in retirement. They essentially will give you the residency and, again, offer you some tax breaks. But in some parts of the world, they require a little more. They want to see that you have a substantial savings set aside that you can support yourself. So you might need to do a little more there to show that you have the resources to live on your own.
We're speaking with Janelle Marte, personal finance writer at The Washington Post. She's got a look at a financial guide to retiring overseas. All right, so what about the healthcare front?
Healthcare is one of the most unpredictable and the most overwhelming expenses that people face in retirement. You have to plan for this when you're thinking about moving overseas. For instance, you might think, oh, I won't need to pay for Medicare, but you might want to sign up anyway, and you might want to keep that in your back pocket. And then you have to look at what are the options available in that country. So in some parts of the world, you'll find that it's really affordable and you can pay for treatment as you need it when you get a cold, but you might also want to look into a local insurance plan.
All right, so if I'm still receiving Social Security, kind of regardless of where I live, does that mean I still have to file a tax return in the U.S.?
Yes.
Yeah.
The good news is that you can take your Social Security almost anywhere you go, but you still need to file your tax return, annual tax return. You can't get away from it.
Thanks, Janelle. That's Janelle Marte, personal finance reporter at The Washington Post. One other thing she throws in, she talks about property in her story, said it can often be more affordable outside of the United States, but if you're looking to establish a permanent abode in another country, you may find that you're restricted from actually buying property. It's 30 minutes now after the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Getting your mailing and shipping done can seem like a no-win situation. First, going to the post office takes up valuable time, and leasing a postage meter is expensive with multi-year commitments and hidden fees. Luckily, there's a better way. Stamps.com. With Stamps.com, you can buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter or package right from your desk using your own computer and printer. Even get special postage discounts you can't find at the post office. Plus, Stamps.com is more powerful than a postage meter at just a fraction of the cost. You can save at least 50% compared to a postage meter, and you'll avoid those time-consuming trips to the post office. Right now, sign up for Stamps.com and use my last name, Deal, for this special offer. A 4-week trial plus a $110 bonus offer, including postage and a digital scale. Don't wait. Go to Stamps.com. Before you do anything else, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage and type in Deal. That's Stamps.com. Enter Deal.
America's First News is online all the time. Follow us on Twitter at This Morning Show. Like us on Facebook or send us an email. This Morning at CompassMediaNetworks.com.
Thanks for spending time with us on this Wednesday, final day of September. Gordon Deal with Jennifer Koshenka. Some of our top stories and headlines. Georgia executes its only woman on death row. Russian lawmakers give President Vladimir Putin authority for military action in Syria. Watching Tropical Storm Joaquin on the East Coast as a hurricane warning has now been issued in the central Bahamas. Google introduces two new Nexus smartphones and the next generation of Chromecast streaming device. And the quirky games you have to play to be the backup to Saints quarterback Drew Brees. That report in about 20 minutes. There's one more question about the presidential campaign that has yet to be answered, and that's, will Vice President Joe Biden announce that he, too, will run for the White House? Kevin Cirilli, political reporter at The Hill, says Mr. Biden's close friends and advisors believe the stars are aligning for his likely presidential bid. Kevin, isn't the window of opportunity closing for him?
Well, I would argue the Biden world is saying that the window keeps getting bigger and bigger, and here's why. This is, in just a couple of weeks, the Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton is going to be testifying on Capitol Hill with regards to this email server controversy that has seen her numbers take a real significant hit. I mean, the self-described socialist is beating Hillary Clinton in many of the Iowa and New Hampshire polls, and that, of course, is Bernie Sanders. On the second point, the FBI continues to investigate her, and she really hasn't been able to launch a campaign with a message, something to get ahead and a cohesive message other than that she's just Hillary Clinton. So as her numbers continue to dive, a lot of Biden world and Democratic donors who are moderates are looking for an alternative to Hillary Clinton, and that provides an opening for Joe Biden.
All right, so do you think at this point his mind is made up and it's a matter of time, or do you really believe that he has not made a decision yet?
You know, it's always tough for me to guess what any of these politicians are thinking, but I will say that I think that all of the early indicators suggest that Joe Biden has very carefully allowed himself time and the ability to make this decision. He has clearly floated trial balloons. There's no question about that. And in doing so, he has signaled that he is at least considering this. And so whether or not this is something that he ultimately decides on, of course, that is going to have to ultimately come down to Joe Biden. But there is no question that he is considering this.
We're speaking with Kevin Cirilli, political reporter at The Hill. He's got a piece entitled Team Biden, VP's Time is Now. All right, so you mentioned, too, Hillary Clinton having to testify on Capitol Hill late October. If Mr. Biden waits on that, he's missing the first debate, right? So that could mean what? Anything?
Well, yeah, I mean, he could essentially miss the first debate, but, I mean, a lot of the folks that I've interviewed, including former Maryland Governor Martin O'Malley, have criticized the Democratic establishment for twofold. Number one, not having enough debates. And number two, stifling debates and packaging them in a way that benefits Hillary Clinton. And also that really is not going to draw in the huge number of viewers that we've seen on the Republican side. I mean, this is a Saturday night debate. Imagine that. I mean, who's really going to be watching this, to be quite candid with you? And so if he gets out of it, I'm not really sure. If he skips the first debate, I'm not really sure how much of a struggle that is for him necessarily. Quite frankly, I mean, Hillary Clinton has so much money and such a powerful infrastructure. There are some people in Biden world who make the argument quietly that waiting would actually help him, because as she continues to die, people are going to be more hungry for a viable alternative to whomever the Republicans put up.
All right. So the factors here for Mr. Biden, we've heard, you know, this is about his family. It's about his ability to win. It's about Hillary's, you know, ongoing dive in the polls. Is it all those things, or is it one of them more than the other?
In talking with Biden world people on my own, you know, I think that also Joe Biden represents an adult in the room. I think that he also, to his supporters, he also, of course, has a long history in the Senate. He's someone that played an influential role in the reopening of the government during the partial 2013 government shutdown. He has deep ties to infrastructure world as well as the unions. He can reach independent voters, I think, in a way that other Democrats cannot. And, you know, and I think he represents sort of a more moderate type of Democrat, a pragmatic progressive that, quite frankly, has been lost as the rise of Elizabeth Warren has continued to move this party way far to the left.
Thanks, Kevin. Kevin Cirilli, political reporter at The Hill. 21 minutes now before the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Reminder, by the way, we can hook up on social media. If you can friend us on Facebook or follow us on Twitter with the handle at This Morning Show. You can swap sarcastic and cynical tweets with me directly at Gordon Deal.
Do you want to learn how to mask your identity to browse inappropriate websites and stream media while at the office?
Well, we can't help you with that. But among the many IT problems we solve, Barracuda's web security solutions keep online activity clean and ensure internet bandwidth performance. Reclaim your network, like 150,000 other businesses already have. To learn more about preventing web-based threats, visit barracuda.com/web.
Thanks for being with us on this hump day. Remember that? Haven't done that one in a while.
Wow, an oldie but goodie.
Halfway through the work week. Beyond the headlines now, this morning's Mike Gavin is here with a look at some of the other stories you'll be talking about this morning.
Good morning. Well, as if it wasn't hard enough to wrestle the iPad away from your kids, now your pets could soon be addicted to mobile devices. That's because just like kids' toys and adults' favorite board games, diversions for pets have overwhelmingly gone digital. CNN says that a slew of apps and other tech toys are now being marketed to our cats and dogs. For example, the cat food company Friskies has a line of digital games, including catfishing, jitterbug, and pull and play, each tempting cats to chase moving targets on the screen of your phone or tablet. The games have been a hit with pet owners and on YouTube, as you might imagine, as thousands of videos have been posted, Gordon, showing cats playing the games. There are games for dogs, too, but owners are more wary of getting their pooches too excited for fear of destroying their devices.
Right.
One iTunes review of the app Game for Dogs said, a 90-pound golden retriever versus an iPad screen, I'll let you figure out the outcome for that one.
Right.
Right. And that'd be my biggest fear as well.
Yeah. And the thing is, you know, cats are eventually going to get bored.
Right.
They'll figure it out. They'll realize, okay, I'm tired of chasing this thing. Dogs will never let up. They'll just continue, all day long. It's funny because I just happened to be passing by my front door and the sunlight caught the face of my watch, right, and made a reflection on the floor. Immediately caught the cat's attention. Like, so it was at least like 90 seconds of fun I had, like moving the reflection up the wall, you know, across the floor, just driving the cat nuts.
Right, which means that there's really no reason to pay for apps to entertain your pets, because your pets will be entertained by almost anything else you do.
Old school, low
very low
technology.
Tech, yes. And Gordon, this isn't exactly how one California couple hoped their Hawaiian vacation would end. Huffington Post says that on a United Airlines flight home from an anniversary trip with her husband, Janet Masters discovered a vomit-filled motion sickness bag that had been wrapped in a blanket and stuffed in the seat back pocket. And that's not the worst of it. To add insult to injury, when Masters attempted to hand off the repulsive package to a flight attendant.
Don't. You're not going to do this, are you?
The contents, Gordon, reportedly spilled onto her and her husband. Now, despite a seat change, the smell, as you might imagine, stuck with them for the duration of their flight. A United representative apologized to the couple and gave them a $300 credit toward a future United flight, though something tells me they aren't going to run out and book that anytime soon.
$300?
That doesn't sound like a lot.
That's it?
I feel like, it's
for an awful cleaning performance. It's clearly the airline's fault.
Not to mention, coming back from Hawaii, that's a long flight. That $300 is only kind of a drop in the bucket compared to the cost of your very long flight to and from Hawaii, depending on where we were coming from.
Right. Now I'll presume that the spill occurred on pants.
Yeah.
Right. You weren't holding that above your head, I hope. Right. Right. But I mean, that's two ruined pairs of pants if it was the man and the woman.
And just
$300.
I mean, and just the smell, and just sitting with the smell for hours and hours.
Right. That's about as miserable as an experience. I'll take the crying baby for 6 hours versus somebody else's vomit on
any
me, right?
Day of the week.
Wow. That $300 has to be negotiable.
And those pants in the trash, probably before you get out of the airport.
I'd probably finish the remainder of my flight in my underwear. Right. Sorry, everyone. Pass me a blanket. I'm going to sit here in the skivvies for the next 5 hours. Don't look if you don't
like
it.
Wouldn't blame you.
Oh. 13 minutes now in front of the hour on This Morning, America's First News. Thanks for spending time with us. On the tech front, it could soon take less thought or abbreviations to say what you need to communicate on Twitter. The company is considering whether to allow us to tweet more than 140 characters at a time. The Wall Street Journal says the interim CEO is spearheading a project codenamed 140+. The final version isn't set, and there's been ongoing debate at the company about what to do about the limit. It's 8 minutes before the hour on This Morning. Jennifer Koshenka is back with more of America's First News.
Gordon, seeking to avoid repeated fiscal crises, Republican leaders have opened discussions with President Obama about a two-year budget deal, aiming to avoid a spending fight to the middle of an election year. The talks are geared at finding a way around discretionary spending caps outlined in a 2011 budget law. Today, the House and Senate are expected to pass a measure that would keep the government running through December 11th. The head of Planned Parenthood faced off with congressional Republicans for the first time since the release of controversial videos that have renewed conservatives' calls to end the organization's federal funding. Throughout the contentious House committee hearing, Planned Parenthood President Cecile Richards says she's proud of her organization's work supporting fetal tissue research and said secretly recorded videos of employees discussing the practice are part of a smear campaign. Representative Jason Chaffetz of Utah grilled Richards over the group's expenses, including her salary, travel, and lobbying. Pleas from her three children and the Pope couldn't stop the execution of the only woman on Georgia's death row. Kelly Gissendanner was given a lethal injection shortly after midnight for conspiring to murder her husband, despite lobbying by the Catholic Church and Archbishop of Atlanta, Wilton Gregory.
As the personal representative of His Holiness Pope Francis to the United States of America, I make an urgent appeal on his behalf for a commutation of the death sentence of Miss Kelly Gissendanner.
Gissendaner's children also unsuccessfully asked the Georgia Board of Pardons and Paroles to commute their mother's death sentence. Vinyl records are making quite the comeback. In the first 6 months of the year, record sales were up 52% from the first half of 2014. In fact, the top-selling vinyl album of 2014, Jack White's Lazaretto, is also the top-selling vinyl album of any calendar year since the Nielsen tracking era began in 1991. Record sellers say there are several reasons why we keep buying vinyl. The sound. We like having them in our hands. They're nostalgic, and we sometimes just hang them on the wall.
Oh. They stack nicely, or they line up nicely, too, like books, you know, if you have the right shelving.
Didn't think of that, but yeah.
I like listening to the Bluesville channel on Sirius XM.
Okay.
Because you can sometimes hear that old scratchiness.
Oh, yeah.
From the old tunes, like the in the 40s and 50s.
I still play mine.
So do you really?
Sure.
Yeah, I like that. Thanks, Jen. 6 minutes now in front of the hour. Want to be the backup quarterback to Drew Brees in New Orleans? You got to compete against him in just about everything. Fun story in the Wall Street Journal. Brees decides the games often off the top of his head. Paddleboard races, pool, maybe bowling. The quarterback challenge is when a team employee drives a cart from one side of the field to the other with different objects in the bed of the cart. Backups must nail different objects, then tally up their scores. Another game, quarterback Plinko, where they hurl a ball onto a huge hill and try to get it to roll down into a cylinder waiting at the bottom. Another game, borrowed from American Gladiators, features the quarterbacks taking the ball from the top of different dummies and attempting throws while a team employee pegs tennis balls at them. There's one challenge in which his backups say Brees is almost impossible to beat, the dropkick competition. By the way, the competition has been important because Brees is out right now with a shoulder injury. For Jennifer Koshenka, I'm Gordon Deal. Thanks for listening to This Morning.
In 2001, Vonage revolutionized home phone service with voice over internet. After such a colossal breakthrough, who would have objected if Vonage said, "Enjoy better, world. Vonage will be spending some me time at the spa." But the thing about better is, there's always more better. So today, Vonage is not at the spa having its trouble area worked on by a masseuse named Moonshadow, but with its nose to the grindstone, transforming communications for your business by making it better. With a cloud-based infrastructure that grows as your business grows, seamless mobility between all devices so you don't miss that important call, even while Moonshadow is walking down your spine. And all for less than you think. So while you're getting your mani-pedi, Vonage's toenails remain a complete disaster, because Vonage is still out there working to make more better. See how your business can get the better it deserves. Call Vonage at 1-800-5-VONAGE or go to Vonage.com. Vonage, the business of better.